You're here, which means that you've found Spirit Crumbs, leading you to your inner light worker. I will be sharing how these tiny little hints from the universe have led me to where I am today. I hope that by hearing my story and the stories of others, you'll pick up your own spirit crumbs along the way that will lead you to somewhere magical. Thanks for coming along for the journey. Let's see where it takes us.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Spirit Crumbs. I'm your host, Andrea McCallum, and I am an artist and an intuitive energy curator. Today's episode may be a shorter one. We'll see what happens once I get going, but it was actually inspired by my very good friend, Peyton Scroggins, who is Blue Heron Medium. He's another member of Team Spirit School, and he was in the Spirit School free community live doing a session called Channeling with the Divine. And one of the things that he did at the beginning was just answer a few questions that were coming up when he asked what people's connection with angels were. And it's the reason I'm making an episode of this, as most of you know, is one of my signs for if it's something to share with others is if it comes to me three times or more. And I've been thinking a lot about angel numbers and signs and how we determine what the meaning is for us. And today just sort of solidified that because his answer was a lot like how I feel about it, which was around angel numbers, that it is usually best if you're just learning what they mean for you to stick to one source. Like, for example, Kyle Gray's angel numbers book, or the website that I use often, which is Joanne Sacred Scribes. And that way, at least when you say to Spirit, this is my source that I'm going to be going to. So if you want a message, provide me with a message that I'll find using this particular source. But one of the things that got me thinking about when he answered it that way, because he also talked about how with angels, there's many different associations people have. If you open a different book, they may associate a different color or a different meaning to a particular angel or archangel. And a lot of the stories will overlap, and a lot of the history and the background around the beings will often be very similar, but the meanings and how to work with them is often just more related to someone's personal experience. And what started happening when I went to meditation was actually when Peyton was leading us through one of the things that I was being shown was the idea of signs and angel numbers and all of these things that we look for on our path, is that it's a collective consensus more so than like a definition of what something means. So what I was being shown in my head was that it's kind of like Wikipedia, where it's like anyone can go in and edit and anyone can contribute their experience or their knowledge on a subject. And giving credit to where we receive that is important along the path, the same way as it is, you know, putting in the footnotes and linking to other pages. The same way, even actually now that I'm saying that, like I was talking about how it was Peyton that sort of like sparked the urge to do this episode, and how I was talking about the two sources that we spoke about and that Peyton named in his session today. And I would encourage you, if you haven't been in the Free Spirit School community, to go in and check out the replay of that, because it was a beautiful meditation and it was some great discussion as well. But what I was thinking around this idea was that sometimes we get really stuck on what something means because of the way someone else taught it to us. But something that I've done a lot on my journey is really just sit with things myself and see what it means to me based on when it's showing up or what I'm asking when I'm seeing it. So for example, if I see the number 26, the meaning I have around the number 26 is specifically from Michelle Buchanan's numerology card deck that I use for a lot of my readings, and it's for love relationship. And though that's like the meaning in that book, it has really stuck with me, but it's kind of expanded a little bit to be that it's around opening up in a more broader sense. So if I'm asking for answers about something specific, or if I'm just sort of like asking spirit what I can focus on next. If I see 26, it doesn't mean to really put all of my energy into finding a relationship, though that can be something they're nudging me towards. For me, that started to become a sign for being open to opportunities and heartfelt, heart-centered opportunities, because again, being connected to love. And then if you put a 6 and a 2 together, it makes an 8 for abundance. And so it's had this feeling where it's kind of gone 180. I used to take it so literally. And if I would see 26 anywhere, I would be like, whoever I was, you know, had a crush on at the time or wherever I was. And like, I'd be like, okay, it's relationship. I have to focus on finding a relationship, or this must mean this person is for me. And I took it very literally. But then over time, I've noticed the pattern of every time it starts to show up, it's really about finding heart-centered opportunities. Sometimes it means creating and getting back into art. Sometimes it does mean just, you know, reaching out and talking to people more, being more vulnerable. And sometimes it does really mean to focus on a more romantic connection. But for me, I've realized that over time, it tends to show up in repeating forms when I've been a little bit closed off, or when I've been maybe a little bit complacent in my day-to-day things and not really doing anything that fills me up. So that has sort of happened over time. And I think that happens for many of us. Like, I used to always look up like 333, 444, all of those repeating ones. But now I have a general sense of what they mean. But a lot of times if I'm seeing those, all those repeating numbers where it's the same number, like 3 or more, it usually for me is just a nod from spirit saying that I'm in the right direction, or that whatever I've asked them for, it's like a confirmation. I do tune into numbers a lot. So I will, for example, if it's 333, take that as more of like creativity or teacher energy, and think about whether what I was asking or what I've been doing or what's happening in the moment has to do with that. And if not, again, I thank spirit for the numbers, and I assume that whatever I'm doing or thinking is in the right path for me. But I just want to, again, just sort of feel into this idea of a Wikipedia entry as opposed to the dictionary is actually how it was shown to me. I don't think I mentioned that at the beginning. What is being shown to me as is, instead of going to use these sources and these collective works, which I think is really great to be able to access, and I do use them. I have the Kyle Gray Angel Numbers book in my Kindle and my phone that I reference sometimes, or I'll look up the website. But I feel like sometimes we treat it more like a dictionary, where it's like that is the definition and there's no wiggle room. And we take it very, again, very literally, or we take it as, you know, unchangeable. But if you look at it as, like I mentioned before, a Wikipedia article or a collective database, it becomes more about sharing and about experience and an open dialogue that can be ever-changing. And it's really interesting when you look at something like certain angels or archangels, because maybe at one point it was more like a dictionary, like if you were in a religion where each angel or archangel or a certain deity had a very specific meaning. But if you were to not have the religious attachment, or if you start to move away from that and have a more personal connection, and even if you just happen to be in a meditation, let's say, and a certain deity or angel or archangel comes to you, and you get I feel it always is like an imprint that I get the first time I connect with something. And that I think it's important for us to document those imprints, because then when we do encounter a definition or a sense of a certain being or a description of them from somewhere else, we don't necessarily have to feel like we're wrong because it's not exactly how it was described. I think it's really interesting because some people talk about being able to see angels in their full form as like a human with the wings, sort of how we would maybe see it in a lot of books. And again, like religious depictions of angels. But a lot of people that I've talked to see them as light in a certain color, or they may just see light and get an impression of like the energy of that and how it feels to them. So sometimes it's a feeling. Color is very popular, I feel, with angels in particular, but I think it's important to know that however you're receiving that connection is your way of connecting. And Peyton actually did very much stress this point when he was speaking about them today. But I think it can be really broadened out to anything that is of a spiritual nature, because I think even myself with plants and crystals, like, yes, there is like a lot of indigenous cultures, obviously, that have connections with certain herbs, what they're used for, what they mean, and then we have witchcraft and how they're used in spells, and there's like a lot of different cultures that have meanings ascribed to them. And I do have a few sources that I use for those things as well as crystals. But I also like to meet these beings as other fellow members of the earth, and I like to connect with them on my own first and sort of feel into how I feel they're showing up. And often what'll happen is I'll meet them when I'm doing an energy session, often my monthly sessions, the remote recharges. One will come to me and then I sort of jot down a little note beside them. Or sometimes I don't get really any particular meaning. I just know they need to be in this session. And then when I go through it all, because I provide an email summary, once I go through the whole session, I go through all my notes and I get a lot of messages and stories and other things that come up too that I share. But particularly when it comes to the plants and crystals and sometimes even animals that show up, I go through and I have a document where I've saved like my kind of like definition. And sometimes I'll add a point if something new came up, but that will then get copy and pasted into the summary. But often what happens is every session almost, or actually probably every session now, there's been at least one new plant or crystal or something that I haven't worked with before that I have my notes and then I look it up, and lo and behold, a lot of the meanings are either very similar to what I have, but also the other crystals and things that are coming up. So for example, this happens with plants a lot because I haven't taken any particular herbalist courses, but they've just sort of naturally come through to me. But sometimes what happens is they'll come up around a few crystals that have a similar meaning. So when I'm going through the list and I get to a particular plant and I look it up and I read the definition, I look at the crystals above or below it in the list and I go, oh my gosh, no wonder this came up in this session. And that's how I've gotten to know plants a little bit more on a personal level. But then when it happens consistently, or when it's when my perception is very similar or has some overlap at least with the cultural uses or the other popular definitions that I find online, I usually, for those, because I'm a little bit more open, I do have a couple sources that I use, but I'll also Google it and then just sort of feel into which source I want to go to. And it usually is, again, very aligned with the rest of the session. And that's usually how I do that. And then if it comes up again, if it's, you know, if I've only used it once or twice, I'll usually continue that process and use a couple sources until I feel like I've gotten like my firm definition. And then that's my way of meeting them. So again, another way to make it more of like a collective Wikipedia or like collective consensus or collection, as opposed to just taking one thing as like one source or one example as like the definition for what that means, because it may be trying to tell you something or work with you in a particular way. So this, again, as I continue through these examples, another example of this, which I probably have talked about in different ways, is even with oracle cards or tarot cards, even though there is like an established meaning and archetype for the cards in, let's say, tarot, you can also start to realize that there's a pattern between, like, for example, I end up getting a lot of intuitive messages on top of whatever the card actually means. And if I feel like I'm giving similar intuitive messages all of the time with a certain card, then I'll be like, oh, actually, I think this actually might be how I relate to this card, or like what it's supposed to mean when I'm doing a reading. That's how spirit gets me to say this thing. And I tend to use cards a little bit more that way. There's one card that comes to mind specifically, which is in the Doreen Virtue Angel Therapy deck. And it's the, oh gosh, I'm not going to remember now, Indigo card, Indigo Child. I don't know what it is, but it's talking about the Indigo generation, or like highly sensitive beings having natural leadership tendencies. But the way this card was shown to me very clearly in a reading on Instagram Live, actually, was that the image is a boy pulling a unicorn in a wagon, and the boy's looking back at the unicorn. And what it showed to me was that only the boy can see this unicorn unless he's willing to say that it's real and show others. And so it was a way of saying that someone has a talent or a spiritual gift or something that is just really ready to emerge. Because then it showed me in that reading, it flipped from being this like clear, sort of like translucent, how I felt it in the wagon, to being like one of those big balloon blow up things on people's lawns. So it was like ready to show something proudly. And so that's just something that over time, when the card has come up and I started talking about the card meaning after that, I would always be shown that image by spirit. And it was like, okay, so it's less about this indigo child, highly sensitive being. That's part of it. And that is something I'll usually bring in if it feels aligned. But I know that I'm meant to talk about whatever gifts or talents they're not sharing. And that's just what that's come to mean for me. And I know even Danielle Sarank, a Squamish medium, she talks about, you know, how you'll be building your library of like symbols from spirit in mediumship. Same thing. An apple could mean something completely different to if you asked a bunch of people. I would encourage you, if you're just curious to see how this works, is like to take something like an apple and send it to a bunch of your friends. If you're in the spiritual space or if you're in the spirit school community, it could be really fun if you wanted to like post something that like means something specific to you, just to see all of the different meanings that you'll get in return. But I would encourage you to send it to some friends and family and people around you and just see like what is the first thing that comes to mind if I would ask you what an apple means to you, if it were to come up in a reading, what would it mean to you? And just see what happens. And you can do that with a number or anything else that you really resonate with. But I, for example, I've been seeing 1212 a lot. And that's, again, not a repeating number. It's not a 222 or a 333. So it's really caught my attention. And when I finally went to look it up, so the Kyle Gray angel numbers goes up to 999. And if it was like 212, which sometimes I guess I've been seeing, or like 121 or something, I might have like used those definitions, but it's specifically 1212. So I went to Joanne Sacred Scribes. She's done a whole bunch, like a lot. And one of the main messages is it's a sign to go out of your comfort zone and start new projects and things you've been wanting to do for a long time. But also, you know, releasing fears around pursuing your passions. And then it also says to stay on a positive path and use your natural skills, talents, and abilities to benefit yourself and others. And I had been saying for a while that I was going to get back into making art and making prints. And I finally I've been seeing it a lot. And along with other things that have come through, I just felt like I needed to. So over the weekend, I ended up making a print. And when I wasn't sure what to do, I actually have a favorite artist. And many of you, if I've sent you playlists at any point, you'll know this, but Noah Kahn is like my favorite artist. And I've been listening to him almost exclusively. Like I have playlists that are based on his music. It's like similar vibe to his music, but it's like very much a lot of his songs. And so I was listening to his music over the weekend. I was listening to a bunch of the albums back to back. And he has an album which he's touring with right now called Stick Season. And as I've told you guys a lot of times, when there's something that is going to repeat that I need to pay attention to, it's like I'll hear a regular word and it just sticks in my brain differently and like repeats itself. And Stick Season, just like that phrase, just stuck in my head a lot. And then what I was doing is cleaning until what I do is I just kind of like move. Do something with movement that's like repetitive until I get an actual inspiration. And I remembered, which if you also have been listening to this podcast for a long time, you know that when I go for walks, I pick up weird little bits from nature out on the sidewalk when I go for a walk. And I have a lot of little sticks that I'm always like, I don't know if I want to make a print of like a stick, like who's going to want to see that? But I did pull out a whole bunch of them and put them into sort of little groupings and ended up doing one with some of the daintier ones. And I did it on a copper plate as a dry point instead of a lino, but that was inspired by just listening to music and, you know, feeling into like what that means to me. And I think you know, I could have found inspiration in many different ways, but I kept getting pulled into music. And so even a song, you know, when you think about music, that's why it's such a powerful thing, because you can hear a song and have a specific memory that goes back to a certain time. And then the same song can mean something totally different to someone else. Like, you may have a song that's related to a loved one who's passed away, but to someone else, it might be like their wedding song, or it could be a breakup song to them, you know? So just in general, I think like what I'm bringing through in this episode is just this way to like open up our ideas of what something might mean, even though if there's like a generally accepted or like a widely accepted meaning for something, if it doesn't resonate with you and you still want to connect with it, like an angel or a number or something, there's still your way of connecting to it and to trust that whatever keeps showing up for you is what you are meant to receive or share when you have that come up. Color is a big one, which I won't get into because that could be a whole episode. But, you know, colors have very direct meanings for people as well. And there's feelings. That's a really great way to explore clairsentience and how you feel about something is feeling into colors. And then, you know, maybe asking spirit to show you colors for certain things, or in readings, if you do readings for others or healing sessions. But yeah, I just invite you to really start to think about the meanings behind things as more of a collective consensus as opposed to a definition. Like, we're going more Wikipedia than dictionary. I think that's something that just came through so clearly. And I just felt like I needed to share. So I appreciate you listening to this episode. I hope that some of it resonated with you. I hope that you start to find your own meanings for signs and symbols and numbers and angels, and really start to trust that your own experience is just as valid as anyone else's, and that you don't have to limit your connections to the more generally accepted definitions and ideas of what certain beings or numbers or symbols could be.
Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Spirit Crumbs. You can find me on Instagram for this podcast at Spirit Crumbs, or you can also find me at Concrete and Crystals for my own spiritual offerings and more tidbits about my own journey. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.